This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Daniel Gross, senior editor at Newsweek magazine. For the brand new February 2nd edition of Newsweek, he authored The Quitter Economy and talked about the twin pillars of an economic recovery. Number one, improving the actual economic conditions, but also making American consumers as well as businesses believe that the economy can improve. And Daniel, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, it's good to be here.
You begin the article by talking about the fact that Circuit City, the nation's largest electronics retailer, is going out of business. It's liquidating. It started to go through Chapter 11, then pretty much threw in the towel. And you talk about some other well-known stores like Linens and Things and Sharper Image that have gone the same route rather than doing the tough work of reorganizing and staying in business. What does it tell us about this give-up mindset that's creeping in here?
Well, it tells us something about management, but it also tells us something about investors and lenders. Look, typically when you go into Chapter 11, you file, you get kind of a respite from having to pay your bills, and then you try to reorganize. You cut some costs, close some stores. And in the past, what happened was you could always get what's called debtor-in-possession financing. A bank would come in, lend you a few million dollars to, you know, keep your inventory, get going through the Christmas season, et cetera. And they would come in because, according to the rules, they're first in line to get paid back. So it was seen as a very safe business to be in. What's happened in this past year with Sharper Image, Linens and Things, Steve and Barry's, Whitehall Jewelers, Mervyn's, the big California department store, and ultimately Circuit City, is when they went into Chapter 11, first, investors were thinking, oh, look, the consumer, this is so terrible, we have too many stores, things aren't going to turn around for a couple years. And second, the lenders who used to provide the cash for them to operate so that they could, you know, if they went bankrupt in June, they could keep going through Christmas and get a lot of revenues, you know, when they get all their sales in those last 5 weeks. The lenders, many of them have gone bankrupt or have exited that market because of losses they experienced in mortgages and everything else. So that isn't available. So Circuit City files for Chapter 11, gets through the Christmas season, and rather than saying, okay, we have 6 months to a year to kind of figure out a plan, it was basically a situation where they had a couple weeks to find a buyer or else. And in this climate, it turned out to be or else. So they're closing 650 stores, you know, big boxes that landlords now aren't going to have tenants, and they're firing 34,000 employees.
And so that's obviously not only true at Circuit City, but also the other retailers that you mentioned. There could be more coming down the pike here. So you point out in the article, Dan, that the important things for the Obama administration to do is encourage and buoy the spirits, basically, of the American consumer and the American business community, but also establish policies that will actually make that encouragement valid and have better economic conditions coming around the corner. You talk in your article about traditional measures of doing that and some unorthodox ways of doing that. Let's start with the traditional. What things that we've seen before are a good idea again?
You know, this big stimulus program that we have coming down the pike, this is the sort of classic Keynesian reaction. If the demand isn't there in the private sector, the government helps create it by creating jobs, by spending on goods and services. So we're seeing that with the stimulus package, with, you know, public works, infrastructure, and also by providing money to the states. The states, you know, can't run budget deficits the way the federal government does, so when they have a hard time, they just start laying people off or stop paying their bills. So that's those are sort of the orthodox, typical things that are going on.
And in terms of the outside-the-box thinking that we're maybe seeing a little bit of, but could be seeing some more of, what are you hearing that you like, and what do you think should be considered that we're not hearing a lot about?
Well, I think, you know, the mindset has to be that the government comes in as a backstop or an insurer when the private sector won't do it. And we've seen that happen throughout the course of the year. You know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac went under. The government says, okay, we'll backstop their debt. You know, mortgage rates that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac guarantee have come way, way down. The commercial paper market, which is how companies borrow money short-term from investors, it seized up when Lehman Brothers failed. The government came in and said, you know what, we'll backstop that. We'll insure that for a period of time. That market has come back in. So you're probably going to have to see some more of that. Examples of government backstopping particular types of assets, you know, student loans, some of these credit card receivables, maybe debtor in possession financing, that sector that I was talking about before. And then the bigger picture is, you know, as much as this is a real issue of nuts and bolts, people making financial decisions every day and numbers that make sense, you know, psychology plays a huge role. Credit comes from the word Latin, meaning belief, and it's all about, you know, going to sleep knowing that, you know, say you owe me $100 and I have to be able to go to sleep at night knowing that you might be good for it or should be good for it tomorrow. And so the psychology around, you know, the economy at large, the institutions we have, and the competency of the people at the top, I think does play a huge role as well.
And we'll close on that thought. As you look at the job facing the new administration, as well as other leaders around the country, especially here in Washington, though, how do they make the case for folks to keep their chin up and look forward rather than looking at the economic morass we're in right now?
Well, look, part of it is simply making that case over and over, repeating it. A second is, I think it's really important to focus a little on the safety net. We have a very, you know, poor safety net in this country. You hear stories about states exhausting their unemployment funds. If there's more backstopping or help for that, that would be a big deal. People are very fearful about spending money because maybe they've lost insurance and they know, you know, one car accident or one sickness in their family can wipe them out. So the more measures we see on things like children's health care, which is one of the first moves to get more kids into the Medicare program, that bolsters confidence. So anything that helps bolster the safety net will kind of have the secondary effect of bolstering people's confidence, I think.
Daniel, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. Thank you so much for being with us today.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
Daniel Gross is a senior editor at Newsweek magazine. His article, The Quitter Economy, appears in the February 2nd edition of the magazine. This is Dateline Washington. We'll be right back.